Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Simplicity. Every so often, our culture has a call back to simplicity. If we could just make things more simple again, then maybe life would be better. And we see this in all various facets of our lives, really, even. Just five simple, all-natural ingredients make up this product. We could just simplify our task lists at work. A three-point sermon. You can laugh at that one. But I would ask you if simplicity is the problem. Is simplicity the answer to our problems in this day? Things do seem to be getting more and more complex, but I'm not sure that that is actually the problem. Because simple doesn't always mean better. Because sometimes it's simple when you don't have any more options and the only option is bad. And think about how much our lives have changed for the better and how many lives have been spared by the complexities of our modern medical technology and how many lives have been enriched by it. And furthermore, all of the systems and logistics that get things from point A to point B so that we can have the things that we need. Those are very complex and they add to our lives. And sometimes things are just so complex you can't bring them down to being simple. It's a concept of irreducible complexity. It's actually how we know that the Bible is true in its account of Genesis. That everything happened according to God's word over the course of days. Because if you try to take all of the things that God says happened in 6 days and stretch them over eons and millennia, well, if you take one thing out of the system, the whole thing falls apart. And so sometimes complexity can actually be of benefit to us. And so I would tell you that the problem is not necessarily complexity, although sometimes it is good to make things as simple as possible. But the problem for us is complicity. We are complicit in sin when we fear, love, and trust in things other than what God has told us, which is to fear, love, and trust God alone. You know, His rules for us are very simple. You should fear, love, and trust God. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love neighbors as yourselves. That's simple. But we can't do it, can we? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's simple, but we can't do it. And sometimes some of the most complex things start off very simply. Just two words. I do. It's how a marriage starts. Two people say, I do. And anyone in this room who is married knows that those two simple words bring about very complex challenges, but very worthwhile things as well. But when fear assaults us, when sorrow overwhelms us, and when anger overtakes us, and we put our fear, love, and trust in something other than God, then we stray away from the simplicity of His commands and into complicity to sin and make our lives very difficult. It's where the disciples found themselves on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was the issue that they had. It was very simple. Follow Jesus. He gave them a simple command: stay here while I pray, and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The end of the passage, when he's found them asleep, and Luke is the only one that tells us, asleep for sorrow, he gives the same command: rise and pray that you will not fall into temptation. You see, the disciples were fearing that the words that Jesus had said would be true, that he would die. They loved the presence of their Lord physically with them more than the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they trusted in their own reason about what should happen to the Messiah, as opposed to what God's will was. And so in their confusion and in their temptation, their inability to pray and focus, they fell asleep. Asleep for sorrow because they didn't know what would happen. The distance between Jesus and the disciples was only probably about as far as I am to the doors of the sanctuary. But the spiritual distance between them couldn't have been more great. And see, that's the lesson of the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, for us as humans, it's a place of sorrow. But for Jesus, it's a place of strength. Notice what happens in our passage in Luke. Jesus goes by himself. He kneels down to pray, overcome by the burden of what is about to happen because he knows. And then in agony, he prays even more fervently. He prays a simple prayer. Very simple. Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, it's in this moment where Jesus' humanness and his divinity come together and we see both on display. No one wants to go through trials and struggles. No one wants to die. But he knew what would have to happen. He knew the cup of God's wrath must be poured out for sins. And he knew that he had to take all of it on himself, drink it down to the very dregs, and give his life as a ransom for all of the sin, all of the pain, and all of the torture that humanity had inflicted on itself and on the world. That was required of him in order to make a way for us to be with him in paradise. Sin must be punished. Judgment has to happen. But it can also be redeemed if the sinless Son of God takes it on himself. And so there in the garden, notice what happens, what Luke tells us. That in the midst of Jesus' prayer, an angel from heaven comes and strengthens him. And so the strength of heaven, the strength of God Almighty comes to Jesus in his hour of need. In his hour of prayer, there is the power to overcome temptation. And so he prays, and he rises, and he journeys to the cross, where he will pay the penalty for all sin that has ever been committed and ever will be committed, is visited on him on that Good Friday. But Scripture tells us in Romans that this is good for us. Because Jesus was willing to be the sacrifice. And if God was willing to not spare his own Son, but to give him up as a ransom for us, that we could have justification and eternal life. And what's more, because he is raised to the right hand of God Almighty, we now have access to the Spirit living inside of us, interceding on behalf of us when we don't know what to pray. The Spirit himself prays for us with groanings who are too deep for words. The things that we don't know how to pray for, God prays for us. And then Christ himself intercedes for us on our behalf. The strength of the garden can be your strength, because it's not up to you, it's up to God. And so we give him thanks and praise that there is nothing in heaven or on earth that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because he went to the garden to pray, he went to the cross to die, and he went out from the tomb to show his mastery over sin, death, and the devil. And so we know. We don't think. We don't wonder. We know that God is for us, and that the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds and keep us in prayer and keep us in this Lord Jesus Christ, until the day when he calls us home. Thanks be to God. Amen.